probably none of us like to be in a waiting room of any description, because we're not all that keen on waiting. And in many ways, Advent is that period of waiting. Waiting to celebrate not only Christmas, but waiting too for that time when Jesus will return. And it's a time in which we live, that time of waiting. And so over this period of Advent, we've simply been looking at how we wait. We've looked at waiting for the Savior, waiting for a promise, and this morning, simply waiting with expectation. It's not just sitting wondering what will happen, it is waiting with expectation. And we meet this John the Baptist character. Now, I suspect John was one of those characters that you couldn't help but see. And I'm sure he also divided opinion. I'm sure those were people who thought he was wonderful, and others who couldn't be having him at all. He was just one of those striking characters. You couldn't miss him. And there he is, with his clothes of itchy camel hair, with his strange diet of locusts and honey. Striking character. Whether you liked him or not, you were almost bound to stop and to listen and to find out what he was doing. Maybe just by his very simple clothing, his very simple food, he was standing in contrast against everything else that was going on around. Maybe it was one of those visual protests that God has always put in place. The prophet Jeremiah in his time very often did visual things. He went and watched a potter making a pot and saw that pot being destroyed and then put back together again. And here's this man, John the Baptist. In a world where people were more concerned about how they looked and what other people thought of them, and maybe a world that was marked with a wee bit of self-indulgence, suddenly this John the Baptist simply stands there in all his simplicity. And by that I don't mean simple as we sometimes say it, but just uncomplicated. Uncomplicated. And proclaims the good news of the kingdom. Jesus said basically the same thing when he looked around at people who were panicking about what they were going to eat and what they were going to wear and how they were going to live. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Now, of course, that was a message for way back then. Or was it? Look at us. What are the things that preoccupy us? There are times when we can be more than a little self-indulgent as well. And maybe we need to hear John the Baptist speak into our lives. Maybe it's a challenge about how we live as Christians. Maybe it's a challenge as to how we mark and celebrate the birth of a Savior, which is so often about self-indulgence more than it is about the Savior. And so John stands in his simplicity and declares the kingdom of God is near. And because it's near, you need to do something about it. You need to move out of being self-preoccupied, self-indulgent, and lift your eyes. That's why it was really good last week. Last week, if you were here, the sides of the church were just filled with gifts to go to the Salvation Army. When we moved them out into the link area behind us here, covered a huge area. That's one way, one simple way that we as a congregation can begin to stop and to look outwards. So thank you to everyone who did that, who took part in that. That generosity of spirit is in strong contrast to the self-indulgence that often marks us. So thank you to those who give, to that Salvation Army appeal, to those who bring food for the food trolley week by week, to people who give to our appeals, to folks who are just so generous. It's a great counter to everything that would cause us to be inward looking and looking after ourselves first of all. So John the Baptist stands. And in the passage which Jeff read for us from Matthew's Gospel, there's a verse from Isaiah which is quoted here. It's simply this: a voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. People would have known that verse from Isaiah, and suddenly they see this man standing in the desert saying, the kingdom of God is near. Get ready. And this is John's mission, and he has chosen to accept it. He will make way for the Lord. How does he go about it? Well, he has two big themes. John has two big themes when he speaks. The first one is simply repentance, and the second one is he focuses on someone who is yet to come, who is much more powerful than he is. So people might have looked at John and thought, you know what, this could be him. This could be the Messiah we've talked about and waited for and prayed for. And John's saying, no. Someone much more powerful than me is coming. So here's my question to myself. As we wait, how do we wait expectantly? How do we prepare the way? How do we make straight paths for the Lord? Well, it's basically the same two things. The first one is repentance. And the second one is looking to Jesus, looking to the one who is more powerful. Just lovely to sing that wee chorus again. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's how we wait expectantly. So John cries out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is simply where God rules. It's a present reality for us because Jesus has come. But it is also a future reality because it will be fulfilled when Jesus comes back again. There's a now and a not yet about the kingdom of heaven. It's here, but it's not fully fulfilled. The birth of Jesus ushers in the kingdom, and when Jesus returns, that kingdom is fulfilled. So repenting is part of being ready. And repenting is simply not just recognizing that we are sinful people. And there are times when that just calls us to stop. Times that we're pulled up short. We remember what we're like. We remember how we've sinned against each other and against God. But repentance is much more than just realizing, you know what, I've sinned. Repentance is that desire to turn from it and to turn again to God. That desire to turn from that sin, that sin that ensnares us, to turn again and to look into the face of Jesus. It's not a one-off action. Sometimes we think, well, way back then when I accepted Jesus as Savior, that's when I repented, and that's grand. But what about today? What about this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow morning? What about all those other times? It's a constant state of mind. It's a constant reminder that we are constantly in need of the grace of God. Someone said we should keep short accounts. Simply repenting should be part of our Christian lives. Recognizing we're sinful people, desiring to do something about it in God's strength. And we need that power outside of ourselves. And so we rely upon the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that grace not only turns a spotlight on our sin, but that grace enables us to turn and to keep turning from it. Repentance should mark our lives. John is preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom in the desert. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees come out, these religious leaders, who probably were quite pleased with themselves. And he's none too flattering. They're a brood of vipers, which, yeah, not a very gracious way to welcome people. But boy, does he get their attention. And one of the things he says to them is that they should produce fruit in keeping with repentance. So don't just tell me that you have repented. I need to see it in your life. I need to see that repentance is actually making a difference in how you live. Produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. True repentance is not just about words. Words can sometimes be easy. True repentance is about lives that are changed. It's about producing fruit in keeping with that repentance. As we repent, it should be obvious, because we're being changed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. That's what repentance is for. It's not to make us miserable, because we can do that on our own. It's to be part of that process of becoming more and more Christ-like. It's not so that other people will look at us and think, goodness, isn't she wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? What a lovely, good life they live. It's much, much more than that. That fruit in keeping with repentance causes people to look and in us to see something of Jesus. To see more of Jesus. These folks that John was talking to said, oh no, hold on a minute, don't talk to me about repentance. We are descended from Abraham, so we're okay. Now we probably don't claim, I don't think anybody here claims direct descent from Abraham, but we do claim other things. No, but I go to church, but I pay in. But I live a good life. I never do anybody any harm. And we go through all those things. And don't talk to me about repentance. I do all these things. As though we're immune to the sin that infects this world. And so Jesus reminds them, no, hang on. It's not about a birthright. It's about trusting in him. It's all about him. That lovely prayer of John the Baptist, which continually comes to the surface in my life, that simply says, John prays, he must become greater, Jesus must become greater, I must become less. It's in John chapter 3. Jesus must become greater, I must become less. That's what repentance leads us to. Us becoming less, Jesus becoming greater. Our building, if you travel past here at night time, it's floodlit. Well, we're having to reduce that now because it's just costing a bit too much to do it. But it's floodlit, and it's a beautiful building. I've yet to hear anybody say, Stephen, you've got some beautiful floodlights in Ballyvullen. I don't think anybody's ever said that to me. But quite a few people say, I was driving down Coleraine Road and the church looks beautiful. The function of a floodlight is not to say, look at me, I'm a floodlight. The function of a floodlight is to light up a building. John's function was not to say, hey, look at me, I'm in a desert proclaiming the good news. John's function was to say, look, there's somebody coming who's much greater than me, and point to Jesus. Whenever we repent, whenever we continue in that repentance, whenever we become more and more like Jesus, the focus shifts from us and moves to Jesus. He becomes greater, we become less. And the prayer of John the Baptist is answered. So how do we wait expectantly, keeping those short accounts, knowing that this babe in the manger was born to die for us and for our salvation. Knowing that because of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. And we keep those short accounts. And we need to pray continually that he becomes greater in our lives. And then when all of that begins to grow and to take place in our lives, then we can truly celebrate. Christmas becomes a celebration of God's goodness to us in Jesus Christ. But not just Christmas. Because when Jesus returns, this will be for all eternity, that we will worship and celebrate the greatness of our God. We wait expectantly, keeping short accounts, fixing our eyes upon Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, we can be very preoccupied. We can be very self-centered. And so, Lord, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, as we prepare to be ready for when he returns, Lord, help us to shift our focus. Help us to worship you and to see you being made greater in our lives, in the life of our congregation, in this community. Lord, by your Spirit, make us aware of our sin. And then by your same Spirit, lead us to the Savior, we pray. And to you, Lord, be all praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.